Lesson 15. The Triune God as the Spirit saturating the tripartite man and the consummate issue of the two spirits.
It doesn't stay. Okay. We're good. Amen. Doctrine. So, and let's read through A and B together. Romans 8 speaks of God, Christ, and the Spirit, not in a doctrinal way, but in the way of experience. God is triune in order that we may experience Him. And B, John 14 clearly says that the Son is in the Father, and that Father in the Son. It goes on to say that the Son, after death and resurrection, became the Spirit. Thus the triune God can come into a sinner. Amen. So that those two points just effectively summarized everything that we had seen. And if we look at the table of contents, that's also a nice review. So if we open up to our table of contents, we can see this progression. We start with the two spirits. Then we talk about the all-inclusive spirit, how it has the attributes of the Lord's humanity, his divinity, and his life-giving essence, and his resurrection power. Amen. We go into the life-giving indwelling spirit, which you now know is inside of you and is always with you, will never let you go. Right. We have the sevenfold intensified spirit and the essential and economical spirit. These are intensified and they fill you up to perform the economical work. Amen. Oh Lord. So, amen. But my burden this morning is, besides this review, is to go through just a bigger overall picture of what we've seen. So we already know the wire diagram over here. The Lord incarnated and had his human living resurrected, died, ascended, died, resurrected, then ascended, then became the life-giving spirit. Amen. Within us. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Amen. So, amen. But now we have this triune God living inside of us, making us unique and special. Amen. Let's read through Roman numeral 2, and A, B, and let's read through Roman numeral 2, A and B. Not only is God triune, man is tripartite with a spirit, soul, and body. We were created in this way, so that we could be organically grafted to God, and so that the two spirits, his and ours, could be joined together. Amen. Amen. A man can be represented by three concentric circles, with the outer ring corresponding to our physical body, the soul represented by the middle ring, and the innermost ring is the man's spirit. The difference between man and animals is that man was made by God with a spirit. Amen. So, in Genesis 2:2 and 2:7, and on the seventh day God finished his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Jehovah God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Amen. Saints, this is the difference between all the other creatures on this planet, all of other creation. It's we have this human spirit. We were designed for this. We were like a jigsaw puzzle that's put together. We were designed to contain God and express Him. Amen. I'll just read you a little bit from Ephesians 2:22. In whom also you are... Oh, sorry. Ecclesiastes, and it's not in here. 3:11. He has made everything beautiful in its own time. Also, He has put eternity in their heart. Yet so that man does not find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. We may try to fill our time with different things. In the high school session, Brother Peter brought this example of a vacuum cleaner. That's what our soul is. Pretty much anything we set our mind on that we are interested in, it could just suck in all of our time. Especially now that we have the internet with the ability to search the world's worth of knowledge. Or when we're back in civilization, we have access to the rest of the world through our smartphones. But God doesn't want that. God, and according to Genesis 1:26, for those that know it, let's recite it together. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of heaven, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." Lord Jesus. Right. And we remember from Genesis 1:26, for those that weren't in, but image, the key phrase there, the key words are image and dominion, and it's expression and representation. So God desires to be, not only to know our human spirit, He desires that we completely express Him. So if we recall the other lessons on just the indwelling spirit and knowing our human spirit, we remember that we have a choice between choosing the sense of life and peace and the sense of death. Right. Everyone remembers when I dropped my smartphone on the ground. What was that an example of again? Shattering. Oh, well, okay. There was Brother Israel's shattering, right? What was the shattering concept about? Well, actually, we'll get onto that. Or if we go on to that. But the dropping of my phone represents that we're still in our natural man. When we don't set our mind on the spirit, we make that choice to still stay in our flesh. Oh, Lord. But when we set our mind on the spirit, remember the airplane example that I've given you. You are above the situation and overcoming the force of gravity. Amen. Amen. Let's see. And let's read through part C on Roman numeral 2. Unlike the unbelievers, the believers had the seed of life in their spirit. This seed of the divine life needs to grow. As it grows, it develops and spreads from the spirit into the soul and even to our mortal body. All right, so where I left off on the decision to choose whether life, to choose the sense of life and peace over the sense of death, is that we need to let the spirit continue to grow into the rest of our being. So if we look, this is our what we're used to, our God's eternal economy, the wire diagram going into our three-part man. But let's look at the exploded view a little bit. All right, so here's the spirit simply. We'll get mind, emotion, will, and our body, if we're just looking at it from three dimensions. So God doesn't just want to stay stuck in our spirit.
Right.
He desires that our entire being would be saturated with Him. Not only our soul becoming life, but it would also stretch into our mortal bodies.
Amen.
So Paul had an example of being such a one that was able to have the mingled spirit and himself. He wasn't quite sure whether it was himself or the spirit talking. So let's see. Amen. Let's read through Romans 8, 6, 10, and 11. Amen. Let's start with Romans. All right, brothers, let's actually have you read Romans 8:10. Sisters, Romans 8:6. And then together, Romans 8:11. Brothers, do we have Romans 8:10? Amen. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. Sisters, 8:6.
Amen.
8:11. And if the spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who indwells you. So some of you are newly regenerated believers. In one case, someone just got baptized the other day, right? Yesterday? Praise the Lord. And some of you are still very young. Brother Israel yesterday gave the example of his son arm wrestling with him. Does anyone remember the outcome of his son's match between him and his when they tried to arm wrestle? Yeah, exactly. That's an example of where we are right now. We're still, as Brother Israel mentioned yesterday, spiritually, we're babies. We need to be nourished, and we need to fan that spirit into flame so that it can saturate to the other parts of our being. But has anyone had an example of the Lord actually controlling your soul? It says in Romans 8:6 that the mind is set on the flesh is death, and the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. But that indicates that the mind is in the control, in the driver's seat. But does anyone have an experience of that, where the spirit dictated their decision on something? Well, if no one, one brief example I had was back in February, a dear brother in our locality had passed away. And it was announced on the Lord's Day to all the congregation and at the Lord's table. And I just couldn't help myself. I was stuck here in my emotion. I was crying. I couldn't get out of it. I just was so upset that I didn't get any more time to hear this brother's portion or to enjoy his presence any longer. But eventually during the Lord's table, the Lord prompted me that I need to get back, get a hold on myself. And he told me, the force of mortality is zero. I'm an actuary, or I'm training to be an actuary. This is a person that studies mathematics and figuring out insurance and figuring out what's the probability of dying. And so this concept of the force of mortality is that this is like it's a rate of change. And at this point, Brother Benjamin was gone. But his force of mortality was zero. He was going to be alive again. He was going to be resurrected, and I could see him. But I didn't think about that. The Lord had just renewed that part. I was studying that concept that week, and the Lord just brought it to my mind so that I could focus and attend the Lord's table and just remember his sweet presence.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, right. Now, this is the difference between us and some just being good. Brother Israel had mentioned about this concept, our natural concept being shattered. One other concept that we have is that we're thinking that we want to be good people. That's all we want to be. We just want to be good for our mom or dad. We want to be good for God, maybe. But that's not what God is after. God is after us following the Spirit and being mingled with Him and having our mind renewed and getting our soul transformed on our day-to-day basis. Lord. You know, some other religions, there might be some tenets of, you need to follow these things to be a good person. Don't injure, don't other. But we're made with a human spirit. Amen. Our God is living, and we're meant to follow Him.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, Lord. Let's briefly read over, if you open up your book to page 165, let's read under the heading, Our Whole Being Saturated with God. Amen. Or just read along. I'll read it. And I'll emphasize. Our relationship, don't read along, just read the text. Don't read aloud is what I mean. Our relationship with God should reach to this extent that the Spirit will saturate every part. Our whole being must be saturated with Him. We should not be content with outwardly worshiping Him, loving Him, fearing Him, and doing things to please Him. This mysterious God has passed through a process. creation, incarnation, human living, death, resurrection, and ascension. Now he has returned as a spirit to enter all who believe in him. Such is our God and Savior. He wants to enter into us. He does not want us to worship him from afar. He does not want us to stand in awe of him. Nor does he want us to perform certain duties to please him. What he wants is that we open the deepest part of our being to him and call on his name. Amen. Then his spirit comes into us, making our deadened spirit life. Amen. From there he spreads out. As we set our mind on the spirit, the soul too is saturated with him. It becomes life. From the soul, life spreads also to our mortal body. Amen. The resurrection life saturates it. When every part of us is saturated with this all-inclusive life-giving spirit, we are in the union that God wants.
Amen.
So this is a vision. As human beings, we all have different goals that we aspire to. Right now in school, your goal might be, I just want to get my exams done, get good grades. When you get into college, the objective might be, I want to figure out, get my internship so I can line myself up and get a nice job. And some nations even have some plans. Historically, there was something called the five-year plan in some countries when they want to economically, rapidly develop. But there are all these plans, they all have some ideal state, some vision of what they want to accomplish. The Lord has a vision.
Amen.
The Lord wants us not only to have him within all of us, he wants to build his church.
Amen.
Oh, Lord. Amen. On this matter of the vision, let's read through Psalm 23's chorus. Let's open up Psalm 23 in our books. Are you ready to know it?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, Lord. Psalm 20, all right, so this is God has called us for his purpose, but let's read verse 4. The chorus. Oh, may a clear controlling vision of the Lord's economy direct my heart and burn in me until my spirit's wholly set afire. With spirit strong and active, we'll press on to consummate God's goal. New Jerusalem, hallelujah. If there's one thing we want you to see, young people, it's to see this vision of what the Lord is doing inside of you, and that you adhere to the sense of life within and eventually become pillars in the church. But there's other, the Lord has one more consummation or one more image that our brother Albert will get into.
Amen. How about let's sing that chorus?
Oh, may a clear controlling vision of the Lord's economy direct my heart and burn in me until my spirit's whole. Set afire with spirit strong and active, we'll press on to consummate God's goal. New Jerusalem, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah,
amen, amen. So good to be with you all again.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hasn't it been wonderful these last couple of days?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So how about I want to read the title of the summer school together and the title of this lesson together.
Amen.
Ready? The two spirits, the divine spirit and the human spirit, the triune God as the spirit saturating the tripartite man, and the consummate issue of the two spirits. This is a mouthful, but I hope we will help you unpack it a little bit. Who remembers the statement that I gave? That was a focus statement. This was probably from message 3 that I gave at the beginning of my sharing about what the significance of the two spirits is. Who has that? Do you remember? It seems like an eternity ago, right? Last Saturday, 168 hours ago, right? Long, long time ago, right? Well, I will repeat it to you. If you have it, you can read it with me. I'm actually going to insert a word in there, okay? So it starts with the title of the summer school, right? The two spirits, the divine spirit and the human spirit, is the key to enjoying everything in God's economy. And the word I want to insert is seeing. The key to seeing, experiencing, and enjoying everything in God's economy. So now that we have it, let's try it again. The divine spirit, we started with two spirits, right? The two spirits, the divine spirit and the human spirit, is the key to seeing, experiencing, and enjoying everything in God's economy. So this really summarizes what we have been covering over the last how many days has it been? Today's day 9, right? So these 9 days so far, we've been covering the two spirits. And this is the key. We have to see this. Then we have to experience it, and we have to enjoy it in order to partake of everything in God's economy, right? So in the first message, we started off with, what's God's eternal purpose? What's God's eternal purpose? It's in one verse, right? It's... I guess we might not be awake. What verse is this, brothers and sisters? This is your first memory verse. Genesis 1:26. And the two key words in this verse are?
Dominion.
Which in another two words for it is? Expression and representation. I hope if I wake you up at 2 a.m. tomorrow morning, you would be able to say, God's eternal purpose is in Genesis 1:26. Two key words are image and dominion.
Amen.
Which means we were made to express God and represent God.
Amen.
This should be something that's ingrained into our being. You have no idea how blessed you guys are. We know our purpose.
Amen.
You know, a pen was made for writing, right? A cup is made to contain water. What is man made to do? Express God and represent God.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, I hope you realize you have a gem here. You have a diamond. Not all your friends know this. Not even other Christians know this. We know this, that God has made us in this way, right? Our brother went over this. He made us in this way so that we could be organically grafted into God. So that the two spirits, his and ours, could be joined together. I'm reading from Roman numeral 2. So this talks about our purpose, but here we see with these three circles how we were made, right? We have a body, because we're in this physical universe, right? That contacts the physical world. We have 5 senses. We can see. We can smell. And isn't it beautiful up here? Haven't you? I wish I could have gone on that hike with y'all. Was that hike good?
Yes.
Yeah? I have to go next time. But it was too hot. Maybe we should go in the winter. Okay. Come back. But, you know, that's how we contact the physical world, right? And then the Lord, we know that we have something inward, right? We have a personality, right? We have thoughts, we have feelings, we make decisions. And that's what? What part of our being am I talking about? The soul, that's right. But there's something even deeper.
Amen.
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 God made us with a spirit.
Amen.
God is spirit, but he made us with a human spirit to contact him.
Amen.
And that spirit is so precious, right? Because we have the spirit, we can be one spirit with the Lord.
Amen.
You know, I sometimes thought, oh, I wish I was with the Lord when he was on the earth. But now he's with me wherever I go.
Amen.
Right? That's the life-giving, indwelling spirit.
Amen.
Okay. So, you know, this is where we're kind of zooming out today, right? We see God's eternal purpose. And this week we've been talking about what the Spirit is. I hope our appreciation of the Spirit has been uplifted. Because we see it's the all-inclusive Spirit, right?
Amen.
It's the compound Spirit.
Amen.
In the Spirit, there's Christ's death, Christ's resurrection. We can experience this.
Mm-hmm.
We see that it's life-giving Spirit.
Amen.
And that actually, this is what we're covering in this message today, right? That he's the life-giving Spirit not only to our spirit, but even to our soul, and even to our body.
Amen.
Right? Those are the verses that we read in Romans 8, This was Paul's experience, that Christ could be the Spirit in us.
Amen.
Right? He's life to our spirit. Our spirit is alive.
Amen.
So we can touch God.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? We can pray. When we pray, we touch God.
Amen.
Right? But what is the Lord doing today? He is spreading into our soul.
Amen.
He's still dispensing.
Amen.
Right? We just have to press, you know, you've seen those water dispensers, right? You press the button, and the water comes out, right? We have to press that dispense button every day. Lord, dispense more of yourself into me.
Amen.
And yes, he comes into our spirit. We touch him in the spirit. We enjoy him in the spirit. But what is he doing? What is he doing? He's in our spirit, and he's spreading into our mind, our emotion, and will. A little bit. A little bit. Don't you believe this past week the Lord has been spreading a little bit more?
Amen.
He does it little by little, right?
Amen.
You know? You guys are all, I'm just looking at the brothers. The brothers are, can you all, brothers, stand up for a sec? Yeah. Just the 7th grade and 8th graders. Yeah. You see, I'm still taller than a few of you. But, 6th graders, yeah. I'm definitely taller than some of you guys, right? Yeah. But one day, when you get your growth spurt, you're going to grow into him, right? But this didn't happen overnight, right? He didn't like bust the seams on the bed that he was pop. It took time, right? Thank you. Even in the human life, growth takes time.
Amen.
I hope you write that down. Growth takes time. Even a process takes time, and we see that with the Lord Jesus, the process that he went through. Yeah, he could have, you know, if the Lord wanted to do it quickly, he could have just popped on the earth, went on the cross, do your 6 hours on the cross, and then redemption is accomplished. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But that's not the way he chose. He was God, but he decided to do it the normal way. And he spent 9 months in Mary's womb. Could you imagine? You're God, and you're cramped in this little... It's not even one by one, you know? It's just you're just there. You're sitting there 9 months waiting to come out. Right? He chose the path of limitation. And then he was born and he lived a 33 and a half. You guys have no idea what 33 and a half years. I don't even know what 33 and a half years is. It's a long time. Right? We see what he was like at 12, but my point is this process takes time. The process that the Lord went through to get into us took time. And the process that the Lord is doing now in us will take time.
Amen.
Right? Now he is the Spirit.
Amen.
Right? He's the consummate Spirit. He is the processed and consummated triune God because he passed through this process of incarnation, human living, crucifixion, resurrection, ascension, and now he's dispensed himself into our spirit.
Amen.
But as our brother said, he's not, the Lord doesn't want to stay locked up in your spirit.
Amen.
He wants to spread into our mind, our emotion, and our will. And this is transformation, right? The Lord wants to dispense more of his element into our being. And as he dispenses his new element into us, the old element is discharged. So let's get back a little bit. I want to read this verse to you. You know, last night you guys covered many the highlights in the book of Ephesians, right? Is that right? You guys went through. And one of the verses was Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24, talking about we have the spirit of our mind.
Amen.
The Lord wants our spirit to be the spirit of our mind, to even affect the way we think. And I have another verse for you, 2 Timothy, you should write this down, 2 Timothy 1:7, I'll read it to you. For God has not given us a spirit of cowardice, but of power and of love and of sober-mindedness. You know, usually we use this verse to encourage one another, but I don't know if you realized before, this spirit, these nouns actually correspond to the functions of our soul, right? What's the first one? Power, right? Power has to do with our will, right? Sometimes we make a decision, or I'm like, I'm going to Olympics, but that takes a lot of willpower, right? Every day, it's like, gotta wake up, 5 a.m., time to go into the pool, time to start swimming laps, right? Takes a will, takes a strong will, right? So the power corresponds to our will. What's the next one?
Love,
right? We need a spirit of love, right? To love the things that the Lord loves and to hate the things that the Lord hates. And then what's the last one? Sober-mindedness. Our mind needs to be sober. You know, the sober is the opposite of drunk, right? If you're drunk, it's hard to think. But when you're sober, everything is clear. That is the spirit that the Lord gave us, so that we would be strong. We would have a strong will to choose the Lord. We would have a strong emotion to love the Lord.
Amen.
And we would have a sober mind to know the things of the Lord,
Amen.
Even to know what's on the Lord's heart.
Amen.
But I feel like we are not there yet, right? We're still in the process. But my encouragement to you is that, you know, we may feel like we don't value the things that the Lord values. Or we may not love the Lord above everything else. Sometimes there's something that we love more than the Lord. That's okay. You know, if that may be something that the Lord touched you with, it's okay. It's okay to be honest with the Lord, right? Maybe you might have suffered this week because you didn't have something that you had at home. I don't know if it's TV. I don't know if it's your games. I don't know if it's the internet. It's okay to be honest with the Lord. Lord, I really miss that. But the Lord is not gonna, I hope you're not afraid that the Lord all of a sudden will take it away from you. Right? But you know what his secret is? He's not gonna take away what you love. He's just gonna change what you love. Think about that. He's not gonna take away what you love. He's gonna change what you love. And the way he does that is by dispensing himself a little bit more. Every time we have morning revival, right? We pray, read a verse. We pray with the saints. No more dispensing. More of Christ gets added to us.
Amen.
Every time we read the word, more of our mind is renewed, right? We begin to value the things the Lord values. More dispensing. More of the Lord is being added to us. More of the Lord, more of our old natural self is being discharged from us, right? And that is what the Lord's doing, right? Eventually, you know, I've heard many of these testimonies before. It's just like, after you're in the Lord's dispensing, you don't miss those things anymore. Because, listen, brothers and sisters, this is what you were made for.
Amen.
We were made to contain God.
Amen.
Not to contain video games.
Right.
Not to contain education.
Right.
Not to contain Ultimate Frisbee.
Right.
No. We were made to contain God.
Amen.
Those are really, really dumb substitutes,
right,
if I could say that. They fill us for a little bit, but it leaves us even thirstier than when we began. And you may not have this realization yet, but I think, you know, if we serving ones are honest with you, this is the world. The world will make you happy. It will. Otherwise, you wouldn't do half the things that there are in the world. But is it eternal?
No.
Even some of you already know this. I had this experience. I went to an amusement park with my friends. I had a great time. Then I looked at my watch. I'm like, it's 1 o'clock. Oh, Lord. Maybe I didn't say, oh, Lord. But it's 1 o'clock. And I know I have to go at 5. And then the rest of my day was ruined because I was like, oh, no, it's going to end. My friends are going to go home. We're going to go home from the water park. Oh, no, I have to go back to real life. It's not eternal. But brothers and sisters, you are blessed.
Amen.
Because we know what our eternal purpose is.
Amen.
And we know God fills that void.
Amen.
This is what we're made for. You know, you've probably seen the example of a glove. I don't have one with me right now. But it's like, you know, sometimes what we do is we try to stuff the glove with pens. Yeah, I can stuff a pen in each each finger, it kind of fills it, right? But that's not what the glove is made for. A glove is not made to contain pens, right? You'd say I'd be very foolish. A glove is made to contain a hand. So in the same way, I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, we are not made to contain pens. Pens, right? We're made to contain God.
Amen.
And we, you know, the Lord knows where we are, right? We may have a lot of these pens in our gloves, so to speak. But if we're open to the Lord, if we realize, Lord, this is the vision. Lord, you've made me in this way. Lord, I want to be open to you, but I still love Pokemon Go. If you don't like Pokemon Go, even better. But the Lord, Satan knows what attracts you, right? He knows what the world is to you. And for everybody, it's something different. And you just be honest with the Lord. When you're spending time with the Lord, Lord, I still love X, whatever X is. But Lord, I'm open to your dispensing.
Amen.
If we're open to the Lord's dispensing, then the Lord has a way.
Amen.
If we're not open to the Lord doesn't have a way.
Right?
Right? But the more he dispenses, the more he flows,
amen,
then little bit by bit, you know, the old natural tastes, the opinions, the preferences get dislodged. And brothers and sisters, I hope you realize this takes a lifetime. You are in this process. You might be in the beginning of this process.
Amen.
I am still in the process.
Amen.
All of us serving ones, we're still in the process.
Right.
We're still in the process,
amen,
of receiving more of the Lord's dispensing.
Amen.
We're still being transformed.
Amen.
Because look, the Spirit, when we received the Lord, when we called, O Lord Jesus, that was an instant. And I think we might have covered this, but maybe you know, maybe you might not know. The transfiguration, the glorification of our bodies, that's also an instant when the Lord comes. What are we doing now? We're undergoing the salvation of our souls.
Amen.
You may hear in the ministry or our organic salvation. In the Bible, it talks about the salvation of our souls in 1 Peter, right? But this is the process. The Lord has to gain our soul. That's our person right now, but he wants our spirit to be our person.
Amen.
And the soul to be the organ through which this spirit is expressed. Okay, so, amen. Praise the Lord for his dispensing.
Amen.
Now we have to get through the rest of the outline. Let's read Roman numeral 4. God's purpose is to obtain the church by dispensing himself into man and making himself one with man. Let's read the subpoints. The process and consummated triune God as the life-giving spirit comes into our spirit,
and the
mingling of the divine life and human life takes place within us. This mingling produces the church. Christ is realized as the Spirit,
and the Spirit is expressed as the churches. The local churches, as the golden lampstands, shine inside the Spirit in the dark age of today.
I will just say this much about this point. I think this is jam-packed, but when we are under the Lord's dispensing, and we touch the Lord's heart, we begin to love what the Lord loves.
Amen.
Right? It's just like when you're with a group of friends. You hang out with a group of friends. You begin to like what they like. You begin to dress like they dress. Right? This is what happens when we spend time with the Lord. We begin to love what he loves, dislike what he dislikes. Right? And let me tell you, what's on the Lord's heart? What do you think is on the Lord's heart? What is he concerned about? Is he concerned about the election?
No.
It's on his list of things to do, right? What is on his heart? What does he want the most? There's a girl on his heart. Do you know who she is?
The church.
The church, right? It was for her, right?
Amen.
That's why he went through this process. It was a tough process. Isn't life tough sometimes? But it was for her, right? In the Bible, in Hebrews, it talks about he went on the cross. It was for her.
Mm-hmm.
He was suffering, but he's like, it's worth it. It's for her. Well, when we spend time with the Lord, when we touch the Lord's heart, then we touch this for her. This is like the Lord's pulse. If you were to take my pulse, right? What's the Lord's heart beating? Every ba-bum, ba-bum. What's on the Lord's heart? It's the church. So the more we touch the Lord's heart, the more we'd love the church. And I think you guys have that a little bit. You may be inspired to serve, right? But this comes with our spending time with the Lord. Okay? And even when we get more of the Lord's dispensing into us, amen, we become more one with the Lord. Then, you know, we set our preferences aside. And the Lord has a way to build us up together.
Amen.
Okay? So that's, hopefully you'll have more time to get into this in the small groups. Finally, we come to Roman numeral 5. Okay? So we were in eternity past. God eternal has a purpose.
Amen.
Right? Now we're going to eternity future. Right? We're going to the new Jerusalem.
Amen.
So let's read Roman 5 together. Eventually, this consummation will come to the ultimate stage. The new Jerusalem. The new Jerusalem is a single entity which is considered the wife of the Lamb, the bride. So maybe I should back up a little bit. What is this consummation? It's a big word. Consummation. 4 syllables. What does consummation mean? Anybody? If the junior hires can't give a definition, we may need to ask the TA. Oh, okay.
Like consuming something, somewhat like that?
Not quite. Yeah, go ahead.
Like has fully like surrounded?
That, I think that's along the same lines as what, maybe we need some, go ahead, maybe to finish, right? It's the end product of a process. Write that down. Consummation is the end product of a process. It's the finished product, right? So, and you know, there we talked already about the consummated spirit. The consummated triune God is the Spirit. He went through a process. And I alluded to this, that we are undergoing a process. The Spirit is working in us, right? Regeneration, sanctification, transformation. He's anointing. He's sealing us. So when we see you, I see, what's your name? David? When I see David, I see God. Right? When somebody walks into the church, they see God. That's the sealing, right? He's pledging, right? This is the Spirit's work. And the consummation. What is the consummation? The consummation is the new Jerusalem.
Amen.
And for this, I want us to read a few verses. Revelation 1:1. Right? It's just Revelation. There's only one Revelation. Toby knows what I'm talking about. Okay. Revelation 1:1. I think we've had a lot of fellowship during the summer school about the Lord's second coming, right? Mm-hmm. That the Lord wants to come back. He wants to get his bride. That for her, that he went to the cross for more than 2,000 years ago. And the consummation, right, where do we see the New Jerusalem? It's in this book of Revelation. So let's read Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show to his slaves the things that must quickly take place. And he made it known, sending it by his angel to slave John. Okay. So everything in the book of Revelation, you may think, oh, the Lord is coming. I probably should read this book on Revelation. Try and figure out what's going to happen. What's going to happen, right? Aren't you interested in what's going to happen? If you knew what was going to happen, wouldn't you want to read what was going to happen before it happened?
Yeah.
Did you get me?
Yeah.
No? Yeah? Like, if you knew what was going to happen, wouldn't you want to read what was going to happen before it happened? Because then you would know what would happen.
Yeah.
Right? So that's Revelation, right? You're like, oh, gotta read Revelation, right? But you have to see that Revelation, he made it known by signs. So not everything in the book is literal, right? A sign is not, you know, you see a sign for, you see like rocks falling off a cliff, you know, that's like, you know, be careful, right? It's not actual rocks falling off a cliff onto the road, right, when you're driving. That would be very scary, right? It's just a sign. It's a sign of what's going to happen. So we have to realize, number one, the New Jerusalem is not a lifeless, material city. Write that down. The New Jerusalem is not a lifeless, material city. Some Christians believe that they're going to go to heaven. But that's not what the New Jerusalem is. The New Jerusalem is not a material, lifeless city, but it is a corporate, living person. I'll repeat that again. The New Jerusalem is not a material, lifeless city, but it is a corporate, living person. And you know what? Who is this person? This is the mutual abiding of God and man, right? God went through this process to get into man. Now he's bringing man into God, right? That's what he wants. He wants to find his rest in the church. He wants the church to find rest in him. So one aspect of the New Jerusalem is that it's the mutual dwelling place of God and man, right? God wants a home. He's looking for his home. And his home is in the church. Well, I tell you, brothers and sisters, our home is not here. We're not satisfied here. Where the place where we can find satisfaction and rest is in God. I feel like the sooner you realize what your eternal purpose is, the more blessed you will be. Because you're not going to waste time like your friends looking for the meaning of my human life. Because you know what the meaning of your human life is. You know, I had a friend in high school who asked, he was a wrestler. I didn't really go in his, I was not a wrestler. I wasn't really in his group, but I don't know. He was sitting next to me in the library. He asked, what's the meaning of my human life? You think this never happens? Well, brothers and sisters, it does. Because people wonder this. But praise the Lord, because of the summer school, I was able to share a little something. I know what the meaning of human life is. I had this experience in gym class in 8th grade. That is just like, you know, somebody was sitting next to me and I was sharing a little something. And then before I knew it, the entire class was there. Even the gym teacher was like, what's going on? Because we have something. We know what the meaning of our human life is.
Amen.
So I hope, you know, I come back to this again and again. Don't miss this. You have it. Don't lose it. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. The Lord's coming back. We know what the meaning of our human life is. We have a mission. We have a mission to bring the Lord back.
Amen.
Amen. So, the first aspect, it's a mutual dwelling place. We can find rest in the Lord. The Lord finds rest in the church. The second aspect I want to bring out is that it's not something dead. It's not a dead city. But it's a living organism.
Amen.
Don't ask me to explain why or how, but it's living. It's a living city. It's full of life. The way this city is built is by life, right? And the final point we're going to cover in the outline, so let's just read it. Point A. The consummation of the divine dispensing will be a universal marriage. The Spirit, as the consummation of the process, triune God, dispensed into His redeemed people, will be there as the bridegroom, and God, as the consummation of the redeemed, regenerated, transformed humanity, will be there as the bride. So, at the end of the Bible, you know, have you ever heard this? The Bible is a romance. There's a hymn like that, right? Well, at the end of this love story, we have the New Jerusalem. And in the New Jerusalem, you have the bride, the Spirit, and the bride. Right? The Spirit is the bridegroom. He's the groom. And the bride is the church. The church becomes the wife of God, right? And they're one. You know, how many of you have been to a wedding meeting before? Almost everybody, right? And there's this verse they like to quote from Genesis. It's like, the two shall become one flesh. Does that sound familiar to you?
Yes.
Maybe 1 Corinthians 6:17. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit.
Amen.
You know, I think Brother Israel must have covered this yesterday, that this Christ in the church, the marriage between a man and a woman is a picture of Christ and the church.
Amen.
And, you know, the man and the woman, they just become, the two become one flesh. But what the Lord is after with Christ and the church is that they become one spirit.
Amen.
This is what we've been talking about, right? The two spirits. Well, the two spirits are the mingled spirit. That's one spirit.
Amen.
We're one with the Lord. Where is this mingling happening? It's in our spirit. And the more we receive this dispensing, the more our entire being is brought into this mingling.
Amen.
Right? Our soul, we think like God. We love what the Lord loves. We choose what the Lord chooses. So, you know, I think there are a few more points. You should get into it in your small groups if you have the opportunity. But I hope through this message that Brother James and myself have shared, you see that this panoramic view. God has a purpose. Genesis 1:26. Image and dominion.
Amen.
This was in his heart from eternity past. And we have a goal.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, the new Jerusalem is your destiny.
Amen.
It's your destiny. This is where we're headed. But just like the Lord went through a process, we are in a process.
Amen.
And the important thing I want to tell you is, you may not understand everything, you may not see everything, but just stay under the dispensing.
Amen.
Just stay open to the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord, the more the Lord dispenses himself into you, the more we'll see. I haven't seen everything. I don't expect you to see everything. But I hope we were able to impress you that we have a purpose.
Amen.
We should not go through life without feeling aimlessly.
Amen.
And we have a goal. This is our destiny. Our destiny is the new Jerusalem where we're one with the Lord.
Amen.
But in order to get there, we have to stay in the process.
Amen.
We have to stay in the dispensing.
Amen.
I'll stop here.
Amen.
Maybe we can have some prayers two by two.
Amen.